Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1179. Fascism and the Uyghur Genocide Myth, Part 2. This is being recorded on April 1st of the year 2021. Well, there are more than enough April Fools to go around. Before I get into the subject matter of the program per se, let me remind you of two things. First of all, sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. There is a link at the top of each description on the SpitfireList.com website, and you can click on that link and get to the podcast, the link to get the podcast from sister station WFMU, and if that is a good way for you to consume the broadcast material, then I emphatically recommend that you do that. Again, at the top of each written description on the SpitfireList.com website, there is a link to click on for the WFMU podcast. Also, at the top of each description on the SpitfireList.com website, there is a link to get the 32 gigabyte flash drive with all of my life's work through For the Record 1156. I do not get any money from that. I emphatically recommend that listeners to the program get a hold of that flash drive. It has all of my life's work and a mini library of old anti-fascist books, which, time permitting, we will be touching on in the program that we are about to do. Now, we have been talking about the myth, and a myth it is, that China is committing, quote, genocide, unquote, against its Turkophone Muslim Uyghur minority. The Uyghurs have been used as a destabilization effort against China since immediately after World War II, and powerful elements of the Uyghurs have links to the pan-Turkist movement, to the fascist Gray Wolves of Turkey, the youth wing of the National Action Party, a pan-Turkist fascist party that we have spoken about in many programs, including AFA-14. They also have strong links to Al-Qaeda, strong links to the Islamic State, and they are being used as a destabilization effort against China. They are not, however, the focal point of genocide, and there are not millions of them in being interned in camps. One of the major disinformation operatives in that regard is a fellow named Adrian Zenz, Z-E-N-Z, a far-right German who is an associate of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, which is a derivative in turn of the Captive Nations Committee, which in turn is a spin-off of the OUNB. We have spoken about the Captive Nations Committee and the OUNB in numerous programs. And in addition to Adrian Zenz, elements associated with the U.S. intelligence community, such as the National Endowment for Democracy, an Orwellian misnomer, if ever there was one, and other related institutions have been creating part of this myth as the part of the full court press against China. In our last program, we concluded with much of an article from the Gray Zone talking about a New York Times op-ed piece that featured a woman who was a veteran of the Falun Gong cult. That is a far-right cult with strong links to the CIA, and since this is April Fool's Day, it should be a prank, but sadly is not. Master Li Hongzhi, the leader of that cult, claims that He can walk through walls and levitate and install an actual rotating law wheel or swastika in the abdomens of his followers, which will then revolve in alternating clockwise and counterclockwise directions and free them of all kinds of physical and spiritual ills. Furthermore, people of mixed race, feminists, and gays are essentially doomed in their philosophy. And perhaps most, well, entertainingly, one might say, they maintain that things like computers and airplanes are produced by tiny space aliens who have inhabited the body of we Earthlings, the bodies of we Earthlings, and caused them to do things like invent computers and airplanes, all of which should be ha-ha-ha, but there's nothing ha-ha-ha about it. The Falun Gong cult has strong links to the CIA, to the Republican Party, and to the far right, and their Shen Yun dance troupe, and the Epic Times and its related social media have done much to, well, they are major elements of the far-right media constellation. So we have been talking about elements related to the Captive Nations Committee, to elements related to the CIA, to Falun Gong, and we are going to proceed a little bit before where we left off in our last program. This is, again, from the Gray Zone of January 28th of 2021. It is by Ben Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N, New York Times, pseudo-expert accusing China of genocide, worked for far-right cult Falun Gong's publicity arm. And it is subtitled, The New York Times recycled flimsy claims by a right-wing apocalyptic extremist to accuse China of, quote, genocide, unquote, in an op-ed by an American with one-eighth Uyghur heritage who worked for Epic Times, a far-right pro-Trump outlet backed by Falun Gong. The woman's name is Amelia, A-M-E-L-I-A, Pang, P-A-N-G. And continuing with a little before where we left off in our last program, before the U.S. initiated its new Cold War with China, Western corporate media outlets openly acknowledged that China faced a major national security threat in Xinjiang in the form of a Wahhabist separatist movement determined to destabilize the entire region and ultimately break away. In a 2017 report titled, Uyghurs Fighting in Syria Take Aim at China, unquote, the Associated Press reported, quote, since 2013, thousands of Uyghurs, a Turkic-speaking Muslim minority from western China, had traveled to Syria to train with the Uyghur militant group Turkestan Islamic Party and fight alongside al-Qaeda, playing key roles in several battles. The AP continued, Uyghur militants have killed hundreds, if not thousands, in attacks inside China in a decades-long insurgency that initially targeted police and other symbols of Chinese authority, but in recent years also included civilians, unquote. The outlet quoted a Uyghur militant who said his group traveled to Syria, quote, to learn how to use the weapons and then go back to China, unquote. Another extremist said they were basing their movement on Zionism and hoped to create an Islamist version of Israel in modern-day Xinjiang. The end of Syria's war may be the beginning of China's worst fears, the AP wrote. While Washington has preferred killing Islamists, extremists like these with drones and military interventions, China has resorted to re-education centers. For Beijing, the Xinjiang region is extremely important. It is a key geostrategic location that lies at the heart of the new Silk Road that will provide an economic bridge between China and Central Asia. Washington has made it clear that it wants to sabotage Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative, an ambitious plan to link global South nations and recenter Asia in the global economy. And the U.S. knows it can throw a massive wrench in China's plans by encouraging separatist movements in Xinjiang. This is precisely why Washington's regime change arm, the National Endowment for Democracy, by the way, founded by William Casey, a CIA cutout established by the Ronald Reagan administration at the end of the First Cold War, has poured millions of dollars into Uyghur separatist groups. The NEB publicly boasted of its support for the Uyghur separatist move, separatist movement on Twitter in December of 2020. The accusations of genocide and concentration camps in China also fail to take into account a global perspective. The U.S. has less than 5% of the planet's population, but nearly 25% of its prisoners. I would also add very briefly that U.S. troops in Afghanistan have engaged Uyghur jihadis in combat, and the same has reportedly happened in Iraq vis-a-vis the Islamic State. Continuing. Amelia Pang is the author of Made in China, A Prisoner, an SOS Letter, and The Hidden Cost of America's Cheap Goods, a book advancing the forced labor allegations made against China by the U.S. State Department. Though she presents herself as a liberal, Pang supported the Trump administration's economic attacks on the Chinese government, clamoring for the most aggressive measures available. In January, the Trump administration announced strict trade policies banning the import of cotton and tomatoes from China's Xinjiang province, the autonomous region where most Uyghurs live. The right-wing Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, which employs Adrian Zenz and has extensive links to the U.S. government, claimed credit for helping to advance the new policy. Pang took to Twitter to praise the Trump administration's economic restrictions. When Pang published her op-ed with the New York Times, the newspaper of record curiously omitted her 5 years of work for the Epoch Times from her bio. Pang's publicly available LinkedIn profile shows that she worked for the propaganda arm of the Falun Gong cult between 2011 and 2016. Ironically, the New York Times, reporting on the Epoch Times, acknowledged that many of Falun Gong's, quote, strident accounts of persecution in China can sometimes be difficult to substantiate or veer into exaggeration, unquote. Probably as a result of those tiny space aliens inhabiting the bodies of Earth people. That obviously my aside, and it should be an April Fool's joke. Unfortunately, the joke is on us, because that organization which believes those things gets support from CIA, from, frankly, the New York Times, from the Republican Party, and its Epoch Times can be seen not only on the internet and social media, but on newsstands as well. Continuing, the New York Times referred to the Epoch Times as, quote, a global-scale misinformation machine that has repeatedly pushed fringe narratives into the mainstream, noting that the Falun Gong propaganda outlet has even promoted the outlandish QAnon conspiracy theory. Pang frequently reported on China-related issues for the Epoch Times. Some of her articles included blatant public relations for Falun Gong with titles like, quote, listen, musicians from Sweden to Mexico sing for Falun Gong, unquote. Pang's anti-China Epoch Times reports go all the way back to 2011, when she amplified Falun Gong protests and described China's National Day, the anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic, as a, quote, national tragedy day to rebuff the Communist Party and its history of violence and atrocity, unquote. Pang also wrote at least 12 PR pieces openly promoting Shenyun, a dance form that is used as a cultural front for the Falun Gong cult. In one, she quoted an Obama White House staff member who called it, quote, the best show around the world, unquote. Pang also turned out a puff piece on anti-China separatist leader Rebya Kadir, the multi-millionaire Uyghur oligarch who from inside the U.S. previously ran the right-wing group the World Uyghur Congress, which is funded by the U.S. government's MEB, regime change arm. In the farming profile, Pang heroized Kadir as, quote, the Dalai Lama of Xinjiang, unquote. Noting that Kadir was, quote, China's richest woman, unquote, and, quote, the seventh richest person in China at the time, unquote, Pang touted the Uyghur separatist leader as, quote, one of the Chinese Communist Party's top public enemies, unquote. Not only was Pang aware of the U.S. government funding for Kadir's separatist activities, she celebrated it in the article. Quote, remarkably, Kadir has managed to get funding from the National Endowment for Democracy and private donors for the two organizations she heads, the Uyghur American Association and the World Uyghur Congress, unquote, Pang wrote. By the way, both, again, closely associated with elements of U.S. intelligence. Continuing. Pang also noted how, in a private meeting with George W. Bush in 2007, the U.S. president praised Kabir as, quote, far more valuable than the weapons of China's army or oil on the ground, unquote. In this Epoch Times puff piece, Pang went so far as to accuse China of, quote, harvesting the organs of live Uyghur prisoners, unquote. As a resource for the accusation, Pang cited a book by Ethan Gutman, G-U-T-M-A-N-N, an eccentric American anti-China activist who has testified for the CIA, the U.S. Congress, and the Israeli Parliament, the Knesset. His research has been funded in part by the NEB. Gutman also worked for neoconservative think tanks like the Project for the New American Century and Foundation for Defense Democracies, or FDD, key institutional forces behind the Iraq War, and the push for a war on Iran. Gutman's highly ideological research, which is often based on little more than rumors, was called into question even by the former mayor of Taipei, Taiwan, Beijing's principal political rival. The Gray Zone contacted Amelia Pang with a request for a comment, inquiring if she was aware of the Epoch Times' close relationship with Falun Gong and if she has had any affiliation with the cult. She replied with just one line, quote, the Epoch Times and the Falun Gong group do not represent my views in any way, unquote. And the next and concluding section of this article is worth noting in, for the record, 1177. We accessed a very, very important recent book, The Jakarta Method, America's Anti-Communist Crusade and the Mass Murder Program that Shaped Our World by Vincent Bevins. And it centers on the CIA coup in Indonesia in 1965 and the killing of anywhere from 1 to 3 million Indonesians that followed that. Someone who has been promoting Amelia Pang's book is Orville Schell, who worked for the Ford Foundation, a CIA cutout, and was one of the people who helped to shape the political landscape that led to that genocide in Indonesia. Very important figure. The conclusion of this article is titled Anti-China Book Promoted by Influential U.S. Regime Change Activist. At the top of her personal website, Amelia Pang advertises her book, quote, Made in China, A Prisoner, An SOS Letter, and The Hidden Cost of America's Cheap Goods, unquote, which is due in February of 2021. The book's homepage highlights a blurb written by Orville, O-R-V-I-L-L-E, Schell, S-C-H-E-L-L, the director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society, an influential NGO funded by the Rockefeller Foundation and other foundations with historic links to the U.S. intelligence apparatus. Shell also has an eyebrow-raising record of work at the Ford Foundation, a CIA cutout in Indonesia from 1964 to 1966, at precisely the time when the country's U.S.-backed military dictatorship was enacting an actual genocide. With help from the CIA, Indonesia's dictator Suharto murdered between 1 and 3 million communists, left-wing sympathizers, labor organizers, and ethnic Chinese people in what the CIA privately admitted was, quote, one of the worst mass murders of the 20th century, unquote, alongside the Nazi Holocaust. Shell undertook his Ford Foundation Fellowship in Jakarta when he was a graduate student at the University of California, Berkeley, the same institution where an infamous group of Indonesian economists known as the Berkeley Mafia, unquote, were trained with Ford Foundation funding in the capitalist shock therapy they imposed on Indonesia's formerly socialist-oriented economy. The endorsement of Pang's book by a figure like Shell highlights the usefulness of her writing to Western foreign policy elites. Her work was so useful, in fact, that her many years of employment by a far-right publicity arm for an anti-China cult that even the New York Times has lambasted was apparently necessary to conceal. And again, please note that the Falun Gong, as far gone as they appear to be, have support not just from the CIA, but also from the Trump administration, from elements that really should know better. It is part of the U.S. regime change apparatus and part of the U.S. political landscape. And when you think about things like, they believe that tiny space aliens, inhabit the bodies of Earth people and cause them to invent things like airplanes and computers, that should be the subject for laughter. That should be, oh, April Fools, unfortunately, the joke is on us. In For the Record program 1145, we spoke about the World Uyghur Congress, one of the regime change arms, and we've spoke about that in the article we just looked at. There has been a lot of publicity about anti-Asian racism and violent incidents that are manifestations of that. I would submit that that is actually an outgrowth of the deliberately crafted, it may not be particularly tasteful or acceptable to mainstream liberals, but it is in fact something that I believe is a deliberate creation by the biopsyop of COVID-19. One of the major goals of that is to isolate China, and to, if you're going to isolate the second largest economy in the world from the rest of the world, you're going to have to do something pretty dramatic. And I think the biopsyop apocalypse that I spoke about in 1161 is one of the major reasons for the anti-Asian racism. But the full court press against China is something that also incorporates not only the Uyghurs, but the fascist Grey Wolves, of whom Mehmet Ali Ajar was one. We've spoken about them in For the Record AFA Program 14. We have spoken about the Grey Wolves, the youth wing of the Pan-Turkist fascist National Action Party in numerous programs. Mehmet Ali Ajar was the guy who shot the Pope, and we went into that in AFA Program 17 through 21, a massive series. But the anti-Asian racism, which is manifesting in the U.S., was quintessentially expressed by a leader of the National Action Party, or National Movement Party, in Turkey. And reading now briefly from another Grey Zone article, again, that we looked at in For the Record 1145. This is from the Grey Zone of March 5th of 2020 by Ajit Ajit Singh, S-I-N-G-H. It is titled, Inside the World Uyghur Congress, the U.S.-backed right-wing regime change network seeking, quote, the fall of China, unquote. And talking about Uyghur and Grey Wolf attacks in China, and also against not only Chinese, but Korean tourists in Turkey proper. In 2015, members of the MHP-affiliated Grey Wolves, formerly led by Alparslan Türkeş, attacked South Korean tourists in Turkey, mistaking them for Chinese citizens in protest of the situation in Xinjiang. Turkish MHP party leader Devlet Bahçeli, B-A-H-C-E-L-I, defended the attacks, quote, "How are you going to differentiate between Korean and Chinese," unquote, the rightist politician questioned. Again, quoting, "They both have slanted eyes. Does it really matter," unquote. Bocelli's racist remarks coincided with the display of a Grey Wolves banner at the party's Istanbul headquarters reading, quote, "We crave Chinese blood," unquote. And I think that expresses pretty directly the anti-Asian racism that we are seeing in this country, and that is, I would submit, an element, a key element of the PSYOP that of which COVID-19 is the central element. We'll talk more about that in programs to come. Now, in the next article, also from the Gray Zone, we are going to take a look at, again, more of the creation of the Chinese genocide against the Uyghurs myth. And among the institutions that we are going to be looking at in this is the International Institute for Islamic Thought, or IIIT. That was one of the organizations in the SAR network that was raided by Treasury and FBI agents on March 20th of 2002 for channeling funding to Al-Qaeda and Hamas, among other organizations. Because of that organization's significant links not only to elements of U.S. intelligence, but to the Republican Party, Bush oil company director and Republican Party operative Talat Otman, T-A-L-A-P-O-P-H-M-A-N, people like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove and their Islamic Free Market Institute, and indeed the Bank Al-Taqwa itself. Had strong links to people who in turn not only have links to George Bush running in one direction, but to the underground Reich in another. And it was his refusal to testify about the International Institute of Islamic Thought that Sami Al-Aryan, a key Bush operative in Florida, was convicted of perjury. He said basically if he testified about the IIIP, he feared for his life and he elected to go to prison rather than testify about that. The IIIP, not surprisingly, crops up in connection with the anti-China activity of the Uyghurs and the propagation of the myth of genocide against the Uyghurs. We're going to talk about that, although one of the people involved claims it's not the same IIIP. His father was the founder and director of the IIIP, and he claims, well, I was just appointed to this new organization because it's kind of an old family tradition, sort of an Islamist iteration of the Hank Williams Jr. Saying. And we're going to take a look, too, at some bogus universities, Newslines Institute and Fairfax University, and something that will bridge our discussion into, if time permits, and I think this is probably going to go into a new program, and that is the Raoul Wallenberg Center for Human Rights. The Wallenberg family of Sweden are a key element of the international cartel system with very, very strong links to the Third Reich in the pre-World War II and World War II periods, to the Bormann Network in the post-World War II period, and the cartel system, which really by the period between the world war, by the time of the period between the world wars, I've said in the past the nation state was obsolete. That is incorrect. It rather had been eclipsed by the cartel system. We, time permitting, if in this program or else in our next broadcast, we're going to talk about the book All Honorable Men from James Stuart Martin, or by James Stuart Martin, a very, very important book that is available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website, and it is available on the flash drive that I spoke about at the beginning of the program. So that is what we are going to look at in the program. This is From the Gray Zone, again, from March 17th of 2021. Independent, unquote, report claiming Uyghur genocide, brought to you by Sham University, neocon ideologues lobbying to, quote, punish, unquote, China. And this is by Ajit, A-J-I-T, Singh, S-I-M-G-H. U.S. media hailed a Newsline's Institute report accusing China of Uyghur genocide as a, quote, landmark, unquote, independent analysis. A look beneath the surface reveals it as a regime change propaganda tool by interventionist operatives at a sham university. Throughout March of 2021, headlines in corporate media outlets from CNN to The Guardian blared about the release of the, quote, first independent report, unquote, to authoritatively determine that the Chinese government has violated, quote, each and every act, unquote, of the United Nations Convention Against Genocide, and therefore, unquote, bears state responsibility for committing genocide against the Uyghurs, unquote. The report, published on March 8 by the New Lines, that's N-E-W-L-I-N-E-S, I was mispronouncing that. Not News Lines, but New Lines, one more time. The report, published on March 8th by the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy, in collaboration with the Raoul Wallenberg Center for Human Rights, follows a last minute accusation made in January by the outgoing Trump administration, along with similar declarations by the Dutch and Canadian parliaments. It was published shortly after the release of a remarkably similar report on February 8th that was commissioned by the U.S. government-backed World Uyghur Congress, and which alleged that there is a, quote, credible case, unquote, against the Chinese government for genocide. CNN, The Guardian, AFP, Agence France Presse, and the CBC hailed the March 8th New Lines report as, unquote, independent analysis, unquote, and a, quote, landmark legal report, unquote, that involved, quote, dozens of international experts, unquote, dozens of international experts, unquote. Samantha Power, the Biden administration's nominee to direct the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, by the way, a State Department subsidiary that often serves as one of the most heinous fronts for CIA activity abroad, and by the way, deeply involved with financing of the Eco-Health Alliance of Peter Daszak in Wuhan. Speaking again of Samantha Power. Samantha Power, the Biden administration's nominee to direct the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, also promoted it. Quote, this report shows how this genocide is precisely what China is doing with the Uyghurs, unquote, the notorious humanitarian interventionist stated. The 1948 Genocide Convention, the U.N.'s first human rights treaty, defines genocide as attempted destruction of a group. This report shows how this is precisely what China is doing with the Uyghurs. Examine the evidence for yourself. This from a Samantha Power tweet of March 11th. Then the author goes on to comment. The report's authors have insisted that they are, quote, impartial, unquote, and are, quote, not advocating any course of action whatsoever, unquote. But a closer look at the report and the institutions behind it reveals its authors' claims of, quote, independence, unquote, and, quote, expertise, unquote, to be a blatant deception. Indeed, the report's principal author, Yonah Diamond, recently called on the Biden administration to unilaterally, quote, confront, unquote, and, quote, punish, unquote, China for supposedly committing genocide and expand sanctions against the country. Meanwhile, the think tanks behind the report have advocated fervently for the West to, quote, combat, unquote, and sanction China, and have promoted U.S. regime change policies targeting Syria, Venezuela, Iran, and Russia. A majority of the report's, quote, expert, unquote, signatories are members of the New Lines Institute and the Wallenberg Center. Others are members of the Hawkish Interparliamentary Alliance on China, former U.S. State Department officials, and ardent supporters of U.S. military interventionism. The report relies most substantially on the, quote, expertise, unquote, of Adrian Zenz, the far-right evangelical ideologue whose, quote, scholarship, unquote, on China has been demonstrated to be deeply flawed, riddled with falsehoods, and dishonest statistical manipulation. The reliance on the voluminous but demonstrably fraudulent work of Zenz is not surprising, given that the report was financed by the New Lines Institute's parent organization, the Fairfax University of America, or FXUA. The FXUA is a disgraced institution that state regulators moved to shut down in 2019 after finding that its, quote, teachers weren't qualified to teach their assigned courses, unquote. Academic quality was, quote, patently deficient, unquote, and plagiarism was, quote, rampant, unquote, and ignored. Just days before the New Lines Institute published its, quote, expert, unquote, report accusing China of genocide, an advisory board to the U.S. Department of Education recommended terminating recognition of XUA's accreditor, placing its license in jeopardy. One more time, this last couple of paragraphs. The reliance on the voluminous, the reliance of the report, again, basically being championed by for people who should know better, the reliance on the voluminous but demonstrably fraudulent work of Zenz is not surprising, given that the report was financed by the New Lines Institute's parent organization, the Fairfax University of America, or FXUA. FXUA is a disgraced institution that state regulators moved to shut down in 2019 after finding that its, quote, teachers weren't qualified to teach their assigned courses, unquote. Academic quality was patently deficient, unquote, and plagiarism was, quote, rampant, unquote, and ignored. Just days before the New Lines Institute published its, quote, expert, unquote, report accusing China of genocide, an advisory board to the U.S. Department of Education recommended terminating recognition of FXUA's accreditor, placing its license in jeopardy. Next section, quote, new, unquote, report regurgitates old, discredited, quote, evidence, unquote. The New Lines report presents no new material on the condition of Uyghur Muslims in China. Instead, it claims to have reviewed all of the, quote, available evidence, unquote, and applied, quote, international law to the evidence of the facts on the ground, unquote. Rather than conducting a thorough and comprehensive review of, quote, the available evidence, unquote, The report restricted its survey to a narrow range of deeply flawed pseudo-scholarship, along with reports by U.S. government-backed lobbying group fronts for the exiled Uyghur separatist movement. It was upon this faulty foundation that the report applies legal analysis related to the UN Genocide Convention. New Line's report relies primarily on the dubious studies of Adrian Zenz, the U.S. government propaganda outlet Radio Free Asia, and claims made by the U.S.-funded separatist network, the World Uyghur Congress. These three sources comprise more than one-third of the references used to construct the factual basis of the document, with Zenz as the most heavily relied upon source, cited on more than 50 occasions. Many of the remaining references cite the work of members of New Lines Institute's Uyghur Scholars Working Group, unquote, of which Zenz is a founding member, and which is made up of a small group of academics who collaborate with him and support his conclusions. As the Gray Zone has reported, Zenz is a far-right Christian fundamentalist who has said he is led by God, unquote, against China's government, deplores homosexuality and gender equality, and has taught exclusively in evangelical theological institutions. A careful review of Zenz's research shows that his assertion of genocide is concocted through fraudulent statistical manipulation, cherry-picking of source material, and propagandistic misrepresentations. His widely cited reports were not published in peer-reviewed journals overseen by academic institutions, but rather by a D.C.-based CIA cutout called the Jamestown Foundation and, quote, the Journal of Political Risk, unquote, a publication headed by former NATO and U.S. national security state operatives. Trump, and then there is a tweet here by Max Blumenthal, continuing, as his academic malpractice comes to light, Zenz has faced increasing scrutiny and embarrassment, as evidenced by his threat to take legal action against his scholarly critics. In order to show up the report's credibility and to deflect from its essential reliance on Zenz's reports, its authors have emphasized their supposed independence, unquote, and, quote, impartiality, unquote. Again, quoting, this is not an advocacy document. We're not advocating any course of action whatsoever, unquote, stated Azim, A-Z-E-E-M, Ibrahim, Director of Special Initiatives at New Lives Institute. There were no campaigners involved in this report. It was purely done by legal experts, area experts, and China ethnic experts. However, just weeks before the publication of the report, its principal author, Yona, Y-O-N-A-H, Diamond, D-I-A-M-O-N-D, penned a bellicose call for the Biden administration to eschew the UN, which Diamond deems to be, quote, beholden to the Chinese government, unquote, and unilaterally confront China. Following the Trump administration's declaration that China was committing genocide in Xinjiang, Diamond argued that the U.S. is legally obliged to, quote, punish, unquote, China, and that, quote, the Biden administration must now take concrete action to that end together with U.S. allies, unquote. The report attempts to construct an appearance of broad expert consensus supporting its conclusions, including a list of 33, quote, independent expert, unquote, signatories. Unsurprisingly, this list consists of individuals pushing for a new Cold War and confrontation with China, and who support separatist efforts to transform the mineral-rich, geopolitically important region of Xinjiang into a NATO-oriented ethno-state. And here is a list of the experts. Erwin Kotler and Helena Kennedy, co-chairs, along with Marco Rubio, of the Hawkish Interparliamentary Alliance on China, or IPAC. Composed almost exclusively of white Western lawmakers, IPAC formed in 2020 in order to mount a, quote, common defense, unquote, against the, quote, rise of the People's Republic of China, unquote. Members of the World Uyghur Congress Executive Erkin Ekrem and Rahima Mahmut, M-A-H-M-U-T and E-R-K-I-M-E-K-R-E-M, sit on IPAC's advisory board and secretariat. Adrian Zenz also sits on the advisory board. David Scheffer, S-C-H-E-F-F-E-R, Beth von Schack, V-O-N, capital S-C-H-A-A-C-K, and Gregory H. Stanton. Scheffer and Schack are both former U.S. State Department ambassadors at large, while Stanton is a former U.S. State Department official. Lloyd Axworthy and Alan Locke, the former Canadian Minister of Foreign Affairs and former Canadian UN ambassador, respectively. Adrian Zenz, founding member of New Lines Institute's Uyghur Scholars Working Group, unquote. Rather than consult a wide range of authorities and academic experts or subject its study to peer review, New Lines relied entirely on a narrowly focused community of like-minded ideologues. A majority of the signatories are members of the two think tanks behind the report, the New Lines Institute and the Wallenberg Center. Far from, quote, independent, unquote, these organizations are deeply partisan, self-described, quote, campaigners, unquote, that align closely with U.S. and Western foreign policy goals, advocating for sanctions and intervention against China and other non-aligned nations across the global South. And the next section is called New Lines Institute, a collection of regime change ideologues and, quote, shadow CIA, unquote, operatives. The supposedly independent report accusing China of genocide was published by the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy based in Washington, D.C., and formerly known as the Center for Global Policy. Founded in 2019, the think tank's stated aim is, quote, to enhance U.S. foreign policy, unquote, with a, quote, specialization in Muslim states and societies, unquote. With extensive ties to the U.S. regime change establishment, the New Lines Institute is a reliable repository of anti-China material. For example, it has featured the ramblings of Robert Spalding, S-P-A-L-B-I-N-G, the former senior director for strategy to President Trump and one of the architects of the Trump administration's 2018 National Security Doctrine, which formally reoriented U.S. foreign policy from a focus on the so-called global war on terror, unquote, towards great power competition with China and Russia. The leadership of New Lines Institute includes former U.S. State Department officials, U.S. military advisors, intelligence professionals who previously worked for the shadow CIA private spying firm Stratfor, and a collection of interventionist ideologues. Its contributors represent a who's who of Syria regime changers who cheerleaded for U.S. military interventionism while intimidating and bullying any prominent figure that dared present a critical perspective on the proxy war. Other personnel. Hassan Hassan, director, founder, and editor-in-chief of New Lines magazine. Ardent supporter of U.S. imperialism, including wars on Iraq, Libya, Yemen, and especially Syria. Along with New Lines contributor Michael Weiss, Hassan called for the U.S. military to balkanize Syria, permanently occupy its oil-rich Jazeera region, and turn the country into an American security protectorate, unquote. Aziz Ibrahim, IBRAHIM, director, adjunct research professor at the Strategic Studies Institute, U.S. Army War College. Ibrahim is a co-author of The New Lines report. Kamran Bokhari, B-O-K-H-A-R-I, director, previously served as the Central Asia Studies Course Coordinator at U.S. Department of State's Foreign Service Institute. Faisal Epami, Deputy Director, former resident senior fellow at the U.S. State Department-funded Atlantic Council, which functions as the semi-official think tank of NATO in Washington, D.C. Michael Weiss, Senior Editor, a veteran Israel lobbyist, neoconservative activist, and anti-Muslim agitator turned advocate of Islamist insurgents in Syria. Weiss has branded himself as an expert on Russia, despite never having visited the country and speaking no Russian. Muhammad Idris Ahmad, Senior Editor. In 2016, Ahmad phoned Gray Zone editor Max Blumenthal unsolicited before Blumenthal published a two-part investigative expose on the Syrian white helmets, threatening him with severe consequences if he went ahead. And there's a link where you can listen to a recording of Ahmad's threatening call. And that will be linked, obviously, in the description on the website. A lecturer on digital journalism at Stirling, S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G University in the UK, Ahmad recently attacked Democracy Now! For hosting scholar Vijay Prashad for a discussion on the danger of a new Cold War with China. Rasha Al-Akibi, senior analyst, Iraq-born pundit who formerly worked as a research fellow at the Neoconservative Foreign Policy Research Institute, a neoconservative think tank originally founded by white supremacists and Cold War hardliners that has honored Iraq War advocates John Bolton and James Mattis. Like her colleague Ahmad, Akibi dedicates a significant portion of her time to smearing anti-war figures on social media. Elizabeth Surkov, P-S-U-R-K-O-V, non-resident fellow, previously worked for a number of neoconservative and establishment think tanks, including the Atlantic Council, Foreign Policy Research Institute, and Freedom House. Surkov served in the Israeli military during Israel's 2006 war on Lebanon. Throughout the Syrian proxy war, Surkov maintained friendly contacts with members of the Saudi-backed jihadist militia Jaish al-Islam, and boasted about links both she and Israel's military intelligence apparatus maintained with Syria's armed opposition. Nicholas A. Harras, H-E-R-A-S, senior analyst, previously a research associate at the U.S. Department of Defense's National Defense University. Harras is also a fellow at the Arms Industry-Funded Center for New American Security. There, he proposed using, quote, wheat as a weapon of great power to apply pressure on the Assad regime, unquote. In other words, Harras advocated for the mass starvation of Syrian civilians by occupying their wheat fields, a U.S. policy that is currently underway in the country's northeastern region. Carolyn Rose, senior analyst, previously served as an analyst at Geopolitical Futures, headed by Stratfor founder George Friedman. Stratfor is a private spying and intelligence firm commonly referred to as a, quote, shadow CIA, unquote. It has contracted extensively with the U.S. government and has trained the radical right wing of Venezuela's opposition and advised them on destabilization tactics. Robin Blackburn, managing editor. For 12 years, Blackburn served as a writer and editor with Stratfor. Robert Inks, editor, previously served as director of the Writers Group and special products editor at Stratfor. Darrell Johnson, non-resident fellow, served in the U.S. Army and previously worked as a senior analyst at the Department of Homeland Security. He is the founder of DT Analytics, a private consulting firm for police and law enforcement. Eugene Trasovsky, non-resident fellow, lectures on the, quote, geopolitics of Central Asia, unquote, at the U.S. State Department's Foreign Service Institute. Previously worked as senior Eurasia analyst at Stratfor for over a decade. Imtiaz Ali, I-M-T-I-A-Z, last name A-L-I, non-resident fellow, previously worked as a curriculum specialist at the U.S. State Department's Foreign Service Institute. And note the following, we're going to continue with this in our next program. Ahmed Alwani, A-L-W-A-M-I, is the founder and president of the New Lines Institute. Alwani previously served on the advisory board for the U.S. military's Africa Command and is the vice president of the International Institute of Islamic Thought. His father, Taha Jabir al-Alwani, was one of IIIT's founders. New Lines Institute recently took steps to counter rumors of IIIT's connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. In an internal email obtained by the Gray Zone, dated November 17, 2020, New Lines Director Hassan Hassan addressed the, quote, accusation, unquote, against the then Center for Global Policy. Hassan wrote that while a different, quote, older entity, unquote, was funded by IIIP, quote, the current one has no relation to IIIP, unquote. Hassan attempted to assuage concerns by downplaying Alwani's connection to IIIP, claiming that Alwani, quote, inherited the International Institute for Islamic Thought as vice president as a sort of legacy, unquote, following his father's death in 2018. And again, we have spoken about the IIIP at great length over the years, not recently, but in our programs, For the Record 356, 357, and there are many broadcasts dealing with Operation Green Quest and the suppression of it by, among others, then FBI Director Robert Mueller. We have dealt with the IIIP, the SAR network, and the entities that were busted on March 20th of 2002, Talat Otman then interceded on their behalf with then Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who was fired at the end of 2002. And Operation Green Quest went nowhere, and the investigation into the money trail of September 11th went nowhere along with it. Note, in our last program, we noted that before he left office, Mike Pompeo removed the East Turkestan Islamic Movement from the terror watch as a terrorist organization monitored by the U.S. We will talk more about that and the IIIP in our next program. However, we are all out of time. This concludes For the Record program number 1179, Fascism and the Uyghur Genocide Myth. This part two, this is being recorded on April 1st of the year 2021. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.